views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from sunny Seattle here at Hubbard Radio, KKNW AM 1150 Studios, with Mr. Benny Mathers across the way. And he's allowing you to hear the conversation today. But you may be listening somewhere else besides the Seattle area. You may be listening in Connecticut, New York, or Rhode Island on WBLQ. You might be listening somewhere in the United States on cable radio network through your television. You might be listening somewhere on one of the stations in Australia, you know, on the airwaves, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be so pleased to join me, because today I've got somebody I call a VIP guest. Not only VIP because of what he's offered to the world, but VIP to my heart because of what he offered me on my journey. But first, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear the conversations, Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Or good evening,
good
I should
evening,
say, too,
yeah,
right?
All around the world. It could be dark in some places.
So if this is a VIP treatment, you know, we definitely rolled out the red carpet for
our
guest,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, it's out for you every day anyways.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Don't be blowing off a compliment.
Oh, well, one of the things I love about my guest is he is a renowned surgeon, physician, MD, mm-hmm. who prefers to be called by his first name. And, you know, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Bernie Siegel, back in 1986, he wrote Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And I believe it sold many millions of copies. He also created something called the Exceptional Cancer Patients Group, where he was actually, as a physician, encouraging people to look within to help heal and help improve quality of life. In 2011, he won a very special award. The Watkins Review of London named him as one of the top 20 spiritually influential living people. And, you know, he's had many honors. You know, he was a surgeon at Yale for many years. He retired in the late 1980s because he was so busy sharing his wisdom with the world. I think he's on his 12th book now. And his latest book is called A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. And I wanted to share with you that I've actually met Bernie before, and he played a significant role in my life. Once upon a time, as many of my listeners know, I was facing the early stages of lymphoma, and doctors had nothing to offer me at the time. They said, you know, we're going to wait and watch until it gets to be bad enough, and then we're going to start you on chemotherapy. And what they didn't tell me, but I read in the medical literature, is they keep you on chemotherapy the rest of your life. So there I was, thrown into this abyss of, oh my gosh, I have nothing to do, you know, in terms of conventional medicine. And I'm falling into this dark place. How do I find my way out? And can I find my way to healing? And this was back in the late 1980s, and there weren't a lot of books out on the subject. I happened upon a therapist who was very wise, you know, wise ahead of her time. She taught people to do visualization and meditation and yoga. And she pointed me to this book called Love, Medicine, and Miracles, written by Dr. Bernie Siegel. And it was such an amazing book that I actually recorded some of the meditations he included in his book in my own voice so that I could do them on a daily basis to help myself to heal. And I actually went and saw him in Princeton, New Jersey, when I lived on the East Coast, and just got so much out of the day-long workshop. I am so pleased to have my VIP guest here, Dr. Bernie Siegel. Bernie, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. I feel flattered. But, you know, let me say this. I use a couple of terms now. One is life coach.
Life coach.
Because, in other words, I showed up and coached you. But you showed up for practice, if you know what I mean.
Right.
That the coach doesn't create the star performer. It's a combination.
Uh-huh.
And so you're willing to learn and to listen.
And boy, I needed a coach.
Yeah, you could have gone home, been depressed, you know, climbed into bed, even died in a short time. But instead, you sought something, and as I say, showed up for practice.
Yes.
And the other term I love is love warrior. And I made
I like that
after reading an article in which somebody was discussing you can be a warrior or a lover, you know, my conclusion was you can be a love warrior, that
right.
love becomes your weapon, as crazy as that may sound.
Uh-huh.
But it's really powerful when you choose to love. People don't know what to do with you. You know, and I'm serious when I say this, you know, you have a lifetime of family conflict. You start letting the family know you love them. And it's amazing what happens in time.
Right.
Because that's what we all need.
Yes.
A good dose of love. And well, if you grow up with it, it makes an enormous difference.
You know, you were a good life coach, and I guess I was a good student because I ended up healing myself. I did visualization, cleared out some of the emotional issues, and all the cancerous lesions disappeared without ever having any conventional medical treatment. So I feel very grateful for the role that you played in my life. And, you know, in your book titles and throughout your writings and your teachings, you talk about miracles. Now, back when you were, you know, a new surgeon, what was your definition of miracle and how has it changed over the years?
Yeah, let me, because I think it's important people understand that. See, you talked about healing yourself. That's the only kind of healing that goes on.
Ah.
I mean, you can't be healed from the outside. I mean, yes, energy can be brought in to you from others and help you to heal. But there, again, it's like putting, you know, oil in your furnace. But the furnace still makes the heat, burns the oil. So
right.
you're the place where things happen. And Solzhenitsyn, in his book Cancer Ward, uses an expression, self-induced healing. Which you never hear from a doctor.
Right,
a doctor
right.
talks about you had a spontaneous remission or you just had a miracle. But when I was reading his book, I came across that term. I thought, wow, he intuitively understands.
Yes.
And the description made it even better. A rainbow-colored butterfly flutters out of this book. The rainbow being your life in order and harmony. Just what you said. You know, you rearranged your life.
Yes.
What's the butterfly? The symbol of transformation.
Yes.
So you did the changes. Then your body gets a message. Because it's there's a chemistry to this. You know, it's not all in your head
right.
or your spirit or soul. Your body knows what you're feeling and thinking. So you transform that life. Your body gets a message. Oh, you like living now. We'll do everything we can to help you. And look what happened. So whenever I would talk to patients, you know, who I thought were dead and occasionally meet them like you at a workshop or a lecture, I'd say, what happened? What do you do? And they'd always have a story to tell.
Sure.
And to me, again, the miracles are the no coincidences. That was an expression Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was always using.
So what does that mean? What does that mean exactly?
Well, see, you really are creating them. I mean, to me, a true miracle has no explanation. I mean, we're still working on how we got here in the first place,
sure.
if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
The nature of life. I mean, I'd say that's kind of a miraculous event. I don't know whether we'll ever be able to explain it. But, you see, when somebody gets well when they're not supposed to, I don't call that a miracle because you could look into the mechanisms like I've just discussed, and say, okay, this is what happened. This is what went on in your body. Well, think of it this way, in a simple term. Bacteria, you dump antibiotics on them. They alter their genes and become resistant to the antibiotic. Now, is that a miracle? I'd say no. The mechanism is built into them.
Right.
It's part of what's built into us, what I call our potential to help us survive. See? A miracle is something, again, that you cannot explain. But it And well, let me give you on a non-physical term, because that book you mentioned, that we have a book of miracles.
Uh-huh.
These are things, again, that it's amazing what happened. But I think that they happen when you choose life.
Right.
And by that, again, I place before you life and death, good and evil, choose life. See, when you choose life, you're choosing what is life-enhancing for you and for everybody else on the planet. You're not being a selfish person.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have issues with that because they think that if they, you know, put the oxygen mask on themselves first, that somebody else isn't going to be breathing, you know? Why is it that being...
Well, if they did it for selfish reasons, you know, saying, uh-huh. I don't care what happens to everybody else, give me that oxygen mask,
uh-huh.
You know, that's not choosing life. But if they said, look, I'll take the risk, let me help these other people, and then I'll take mine. Or if I take mine because I want to be available to help them,
right.
You know, you're thinking of it in many different ways. And that's why I say, when you're not being selfish, that's when amazing things happen to you.
Uh-huh.
And let me give you a simple example from that book.
Okay.
The couple was discharged from the armed forces and decided to drive from California to the East Coast and have a vacation, enjoy the trip home.
Mm-hmm.
Their car is not able to get up a hill. It slows down.
Oh, dear.
And they take it to mechanics, and nobody knows what's wrong with it.
Uh-huh.
What do they decide? See, what would you decide? Would you say, well, screw everybody else. We're trying to have a vacation. If we uh-huh. slow everybody down, get in the way, that's their problem.
Right.
No, they said, we'll drive at night, and we'll sleep in the daytime.
Ah.
You see? And then what happens? In the middle of the night in Nevada, they're driving. They come to a hill. They notice a car behind them, so they pull off the road to get out of the way.
Uh-huh.
The other car pulls over and stops, and they're getting nervous.
Right.
But the fella comes over and says, you're driving a Pontiac Le Mans. I am the original designer of the car. I know what's wrong with your car. There's a hose which sucks gas to conserve fuel, but it's sucking too much fuel, so you can't get up the hill.
Uh-huh.
I'll take care of it for you.
Oh,
he raises the hood, fixes it in 5 minutes.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And off they go and have their wonderful trip home.
Oh, that's great.
And you'd say, how the hell does that happen?
Right.
You know? But again, well, Jung put it in another way. He said the future is unconsciously prepared long in advance
uh-huh.
and therefore can be guessed by clairvoyance.
Right.
So we have to remember we're creating that future.
Yes.
And so it isn't miraculous. It's what we're creating.
Hmm. We're going to have to go to a quick break, but more with the wonderful Dr. Bernie Siegel when we return. Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I warn myself of the blackness in my chest. The razors in my heart would never raise.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with Bernie Siegel. He's a physician turned life coach and love warrior. And he has written a dozen books, including his most recent, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love. Now, Bernie, you wanted to share another miracle story with us.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that impressed me, I always say my definition in a sense of God is loving, intelligent, conscious energy, that all those things are a part of creation, love, intelligence, consciousness, and energy. And I always say the love is there or we wouldn't. You know, if you cut your finger, you'd bleed to death. So the mechanisms are built in.
Right.
But one of the things that amazed me, you take a liquid. Well, even think of hot lava is flowing. What happens when it cools? It stops and gets solid. That's what happens to every liquid except water. When you freeze water, what do you get? An ice cube. Where is it? On top, floating. Now think about that. Who figured that out? Who made that happen? But think about life, not just, you know, a cold drink. Think about global warming. And as the ice is melting, what a disaster it is.
Right.
You see. So ice being on top protects animals, helps us all, you know, to protect our land. And if things froze from the bottom up, we'd be in deep trouble in terms of life and so forth. And that's the part, you know, that, yeah, I'd say that's a miracle. Because I can't explain that, and I don't think any quantum physicist or anybody is going to be able to figure out how water decided to do the opposite of every other liquid. But that's the part, as I say, that impresses me about life. So life is a miracle.
So do you think that perhaps these miraculous things that we can't explain, do you think perhaps everything can be explained if we had the right scientific knowledge and understanding, or do you think that there will always remain mysteries that seem to be miracles to us?
Well, Einstein put it, he said, either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. I mean, and that's how I feel. So, yes, my feeling is life is a miracle. Can we ever get back to that intelligent, loving, conscious energy and say, how did you know what you're doing? I doubt it. That will ever happen. But one of our sons had an interesting comment. He said, Dad, what if our bodies are just like, you know, the solar system and the planet? You know, there are so many things existing within us. And I thought that was an interesting relationship to think about the cells in your body or even a bacteria sitting in your intestine thinking, hey, I'm in a universe here.
Right.
And we're all interacting and a part of the same thing. So I think in many ways, the universe and the nature of life is very similar to our body. We're all part of the same thing, interacting. And again, I mean, what struck me when he was talking about this, you know, how do they test people for Ebola? Mm-hmm. They take your temperature. And our planet's temperature is rising.
Yes, it is.
You know, maybe it's trying to wake us up and say, hey, dumbbells, you got a problem here.
Yeah.
You got an infection going on. You people have to change your life pattern if you want to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fascinates me to look at the universe and our bodies in the same way,
mm-hmm.
you know, as this interactive structure. But do I think we'll ever know how it all happened? I really doubt it.
So Bernie, when somebody is ill, say they've got a life-threatening illness, is the only kind of miracle a healing of the disease, or are there other kinds of miracles in that situation?
Well, I would say there are more kinds of miracles. See, doctors, unfortunately, are trained to treat the result, not the cause.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, well, I was blamed for saying to patients, what's going on in your life?
Really?
When they came in and were sick, yeah.
That was unpopular?
Yeah, I was blamed by doctors. See, they say, oh, you're blaming your patients. I said, what are you talking about? Well, you're asking them what happened last year or two, so you're making them think they caused it. But you have to understand, again, I said it's chemistry. Loneliness affects the genes that control immune function.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so if somebody's family or a loved one died, yeah, they're more likely to get sick in that time. And that's not an accident. That's not blame. It's getting uh-huh. them to understand what's happening.
Right. It's actually even empowering, like, too, isn't it? Because
Well, yes. Even things like having a pet, a heart attack, a year later, you have a dog in the house, 5% of the people have died. No dog, 26% of the people had died.
That's an amazing statistic.
Yeah, and so women live longer than men with the same cancer.
Uh-huh.
But again, you see, what I worry about with the women is when they say, oh, yeah, I can't die until all the kids are married and out of the house.
Uh-huh.
But that's when I've watched women die, when the kids left home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to also empower them, give them authenticity. You're not just mama.
Right.
But what I've learned was, again, Monday morning, just to make it practical, we have more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. And it's how you feel on Monday. And when you take actors and give them a comedy and a tragedy
uh-huh.
and read the script, this was done by a graduate student, and he drew their blood while they read the script.
Uh-huh.
In the comedy, their immune function improved, stress hormone levels went down. And in the tragedy, which was a murder,
uh-huh.
The stress hormone levels went up and the immune function went down.
Wow.
So that's why I would look at people and, in a sense, why are you sick this year? Why didn't it happen last year? You know, twin sisters don't get the same disease on the same day.
Uh-huh.
The submissive kid who's pleasing everybody, internalizing anger, is far more likely to get breast cancer than her little devil of a sister who's running around doing her thing. So what I try to help people do is find their authentic life,
uh-huh.
you see. And in other words, you hate your profession. You learn
yes.
you have cancer. Okay, go do what makes you happy now,
uh-huh.
not the life that was imposed on you.
Right.
And even funnier to me was people who said, okay, doc said I have a few months to live. I don't argue with the doctor the way I'm feeling. So I'm buying a house on the ocean so I can meditate, listen to your tapes, and watch the ocean.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to Colorado. It's beautiful. I want to die in the mountains.
Uh-huh.
I bought a dog, put in a backyard wildlife habitat, laughed more, took some vitamins. And guess what? And I don't make up any of these stories,
uh-huh.
you know, for people listening. These are people that I have known. And the woman who wrote about getting a dog, her letter ended with, and I didn't die, now I'm so busy I'm killing myself. Help, where do I go from here? The guy in Colorado, when I called up to yell at the family for not inviting me out to the funeral, because
uh-huh.
I said to them, I feel very close to him. When he dies, call me. I'll come to the funeral.
Uh-huh.
No call for a year. I called them, you know, ready to yell at everybody.
Right, right.
And he answered the phone and said, it was so beautiful here, I forgot to die.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, so again, they gave their body that live message.
Uh-huh.
And I tell people, I'm not trying to make you immortal. The only thing of permanence is love. You want to live forever, love somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give your body that message, I'll tell you, a way I found that I thought was a good way of describing it. Think about what you do that makes you lose track of time.
Uh-huh.
For me, it was operating on people, painting a portrait, you know, doing something creative. And one of our sons put it to a good term. I said, if you had 15 minutes to live, what would you do?
Uh-huh.
He said, I'd buy a quart of chocolate ice cream and eat it.
Uh-huh.
And another person in the room said, why were you critical of me and think your son is so smart? What if playing golf is my chocolate ice cream?
Because
I just couldn't believe somebody would play golf for the last 15 minutes of his life.
I don't understand that either, Bernie.
Yeah, but now I do. And it impresses me more when people say some crazy little thing and not, oh, I call everybody and say I love you.
Right.
That sounds more like work, you know? But I think what your chocolate ice cream is and go do it.
Yeah.
And when you do that and lose track of time, your body, and I mean this literally, has no sense of time. And therefore, I always say, how can you age? How can you get older if you never know what time it is?
Yeah.
So when you're in that state, you have no aches or pains or anything else. And again, I know this from times I've had injuries and literally could hardly stand up. But I had no trouble standing in front of an easel painting or in the operating room.
Isn't that interesting?
But when I was done, then the pain had me lying on the floor. But it just impressed me. And I think when people are loving their life and contributing to the world, then they get into that state. And their body, again, does everything it can to keep you healthy and young.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go to another quick break. But before we do, I wanted to share with our listeners the ways to connect with you and all your books and all that you offer. What's your website, Bernie?
Bernie Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. MD.com, BernieSiegelMD.com.
Right.
And if they go to contact, it comes to me. I deal with the people.
Good for you. You're probably very, very busy in that realm then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got lots more conversation to come. More with the Dr. Bernie Siegel when we return.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galioscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more?
do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their mind.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I am talking to the wonderful Dr. Bernie Siegel, the author of 12 books, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. It sold millions and millions, I believe. And his latest book is a beautiful book filled with actual miracle stories, a variety of stories. It's called A Book of Miracles, Inspiring True Stories of Healing, Gratitude, and Love. You know, Bernie, on the break, we were talking about what a renegade you were back in the 1980s. You know, I was facing the early stages of lymphoma, late 1980s. There wasn't a whole lot of literature out there. And there was your book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. And it was so helpful to me. So were you the first person to really be bringing this to the forefront? And if so, why?
Well, I learned that I wasn't, but I didn't know I wasn't. I mean, what I was doing was sharing my experience. What started it was a patient of mine saying, I need to know how to live between office visits.
Uh-huh.
And I was feeling the pain of not being able to cure every disease.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I cared about people. I always say I became a doctor for healthy reasons.
Uh-huh.
And then it's painful. So I was burying a lot of pain. That's what led me to go out and search to help myself. But again, I drew a picture for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I couldn't believe all the things she knew from my picture.
Yeah.
I mean, the simple example is, what are you covering up? Well, I knew it was all my emotions and feelings, but I said to her, why do you ask that? She said, Bernie, this is a white piece of paper. You made a mountain with snow on it, but you used a white crayon to make the snow. But the paint was already white. What are you covering up, you see? And so I started support groups. And then I saw people not dying.
Interesting.
When they were supposed to, you know. But I realized it was because they were changing their life.
Uh-huh.
They were changing it. I've got an email today, how you changed my life. I can't change your life. You know, again, as we talked about earlier, I can coach people and guide them.
Sure.
So I began to write about my experience related to drawings, related to the emotions and health. And I sent articles to medical journals. They were sent back saying, it's interesting, but it's not appropriate
for
a medical journal. So I sent them to where it was appropriate, psychology and psychiatry journal.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? Came back again. But this time the letter said, yes, it's appropriate, but it's not interesting. We know all this.
Really?
That blew my mind. It's like, well, then why didn't somebody teach me this in medical school?
Uh-huh. See,
why didn't people tell me that Carl Jung interpreted a dream and diagnosed a brain tumor?
Uh-huh.
It's like 100 years ago, and nobody's ever tells you that in medical school.
Right.
And so, again, I began to explore all these things. And a wonderful quote from psychiatrist Carl Menninger, because when I wrote my first book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, I sent it to him for a comment.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote back saying, Bernie, I was just about to write a book called 10 Hopeless Cases.
Uh-huh.
10 people who should be dead and are alive and well today. But I'm not going to because you just wrote it.
Oh, that's great.
That was one hell of a letter.
Yeah.
And then I found other psychiatrists writing books like The Will to Live.
Uh-huh.
And again, they were seeing people, you can fight for your life, things like that.
Right, I remember
You know,
one.
Because they were caring for people and noticed that when they helped them get their life in order, they didn't die.
Uh-huh.
And so the psychiatrist wrote the book. But the, you know, doctors weren't trained to do those things
mm-hmm.
and change people's lives and help them. And so, you know, when I wrote the book, hey, I was a problem. I was, you know, I would hear, I can't accept what you're saying.
Really?
Even though I would speak about a patient. You know, I'm telling the truth. I'm
uh-huh.
not lying.
Uh-huh.
But they'd say, I can't accept that. Because it's not a part of their training.
Right.
That's the sad part.
They buy into a system and the system's incomplete.
Yeah. What I say to people now is don't let your beliefs limit you.
That's a good one.
Live by your experience. So if something happens, again, we talked about this before. I may not be able to explain why something happened,
uh-huh.
but I accept it. It happened.
Right.
So therefore, other people have that potential and
yes.
we can help them to achieve it.
And I think that you being a surgeon from Yale gave like another level of legitimacy to this that made
right.
it made people, at least those skeptics, open their mind enough to be willing to read it, to hear the stories, to learn a little bit about it. And since you wrote that, I think there's been quite a bit of scientific research to find out that there is indeed a connection between our emotions and our immune system, for instance.
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, cancer patients who laugh for no apparent reason
uh-huh.
in one study, you know, like every 2 or 3 hours you laugh,
uh-huh.
they live longer than the control group that laughed if something funny happened.
Right.
So, again, you know, we have all these things begin to be measured. But you see, the problem is, it takes 30 years for those studies to be done
uh-huh.
because then beliefs have shifted.
Right.
I used to be criticized. You haven't done any research.
Uh-huh.
I know, because everybody says I'm nuts and won't fund my research.
Uh-huh.
National Institutes of Health, American Cancer Society, none of them said, okay, here's funding, go do it.
Right.
What was interesting is when people set out to prove I'm wrong,
uh-huh.
they set up support groups and so forth and said, we'll show you that it doesn't make a difference.
Uh-huh.
But it came out making a difference. They then
great.
It had impact because these were people who had no interest in proving me right.
Uh-huh.
And then it showed up. See, the other side, I may add, a Yale student did a study because then it didn't cost me money. I didn't have to take any time. I didn't need support.
Uh-huh.
He said he'll do it as his master's thesis.
Right.
He showed that the women in our cancer support group had a much better survival rate than control group. What does his professor do?
What?
Think about that. His professor said to him, it can't be true.
Oh, good grief.
Change the control group. And then everything came out even. Now, you see, that's
now, I'm a former research statistician. That just, that really irks me when people mess with the data like that.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't say, you know, it's not a right control group. He said it can't be true.
Uh-huh.
Change it. And so then it gets published showing everything's the same, and then I get criticized. But they don't know what went on behind the closed doors.
Right.
And what his professor said to him. And that's why I say live by your beliefs. Stop saying, you know, that can't be true. I can't accept that. Say, okay, let's repeat it if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But let's find somebody who doesn't believe in what you're doing and see if it makes a difference.
Right.
And so we now have, you know, many, many studies from physicists and others showing how our consciousness, desire, intention, all kinds of things affect the results of studies.
Yes.
And even more from psychologists that one was named Bruno Klopfer. He predicted accurately, I think, 22 out of 25 times from personalities alone, who would have a slow-growing tumor, who would have a rapidly growing tumor.
Wow. And what were some of the personality characteristics that would determine who had the fast-growing ones?
Well,
versus...
as a matter of fact, on my website, we have something called an immune-competent personality,
uh-huh.
if people want to read that.
And that's Bernie Siegel, MD.
The positive side is that you have meaning in your life. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about Monday morning. That you ask for help from family and friends,
oh.
that you express, you know, internal anger, that you make decisions about treatment, you have play in your life,
uh-huh.
what I call, you know, your chocolate ice cream,
right.
That you use your feelings and learn from them. I always say hunger makes you get something to eat, so So if you get depressed, you don't climb into bed and say, oh, I feel terrible, I'm going to die. You say, okay, what am I to learn from this? What do I need to change to nourish my life? And you don't live a role, meaning you're not. See, I have men in my office say, what's the point of living? I can't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And their wife and children are sitting next to them.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I couldn't believe that a man, and this happened more than once, would say, there's no point in living. I can't work anymore.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a family sitting with you when you say that.
Yeah.
So again, you see, the survival behavior, as I said, is doing what makes you happy, letting your heart make up your mind,
mm-hmm.
starting to live your authentic life. And then your body, again, gets that message and does all it can to keep you functioning and alive.
You know, Bernie, when I read Love, Medicine, and Miracles and then came and saw you in Princeton, New Jersey many years ago when I was looking for a path to healing, one of the things that you said that you just mentioned a moment ago that was so important to me was be honest with yourself about your feelings. Now, at that point, I thought, you know, put on the happy facade. And at that point, people were talking about intention a little bit at that stage and be positive and think positively. And it felt kind of counterintuitive, like, really? I feel like crap right now. I hate working on my doctorate here, and I'm not very happy in my marriage, and really I'm supposed to not put on the happy face and make my body feel better. But when you said, you know, to allow the feelings that you can learn from them, it made this huge difference in my life. And
right.
I'm still learning from that lesson that you taught me years ago.
Yeah, it's helped me in my life too. Joseph Campbell put it in a way that I like to think about. He said, when you're going through hell, ask yourself, what have I learned from this experience?
Uh-huh.
You see, then I say the curse becomes a blessing.
Yes.
Because it wakes you up to your life and what you need to learn. And a lot of this relates back, I may add, to how you're parented.
Sure.
The opposite of love is indifference, rejection, and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grow up feeling unloved, and this is a study of Harvard students, those who didn't feel loved as a child, almost 100% of them had suffered a major illness by middle age.
Wow.
And only 25% of those who said, my parents loved me.
Uh-huh.
So you have to look at things like addiction, you know, self-destructive behavior, so
right.
to speak.
Right.
It's not an accident. It's not because people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine 10% of lung cancer survivors, after they've had surgery, start smoking again.
Yes.
Now, would you say they're stupid? Did
no.
they know it wasn't good for them?
No.
Well, here's a quote that blew my mind one day in Cat Fancy magazine. Make a long story short, 9 cats, 1 dies of lung cancer, 8 are having trouble breathing. The couple, you know, who smoke and live in the house with
oh,
the
dear.
Cat said, Doug and I now smoke in the yard. We love our cats more than the convenience of smoking indoors. We're not killing our cats anymore. We hope you're not killing yours.
Uh-huh.
Now, how the magazine could publish that without commenting about the fact that they're killing themselves
right.
is beyond me.
Yeah.
And they didn't publish my letter when I try to write in to make that clear to people, too.
Uh-huh.
But you see, but 900 years ago, I found this sentence from Maimonides. If people took as good care of themselves as they do their animals,
uh-huh.
they'd suffer fewer illnesses.
Yeah.
So again, we
advice.
Need to reap. What I call reparent people,
right.
feel, you know, love for yourself. And I'm not saying you have to like everything you do
mm-hmm.
or be perfect, but love that kid that's in you.
Yeah.
Give it a chance.
And on that beautiful note, we're going to go to another quick break, but more with Dr. Bernie Siegel when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Join Dr. Pat Basile for an extraordinary event right here in the Pacific Northwest. The Global Women's Summit, presented by the Women's Information Network, is coming to Tacoma. Join us as we discover life and wealth mastery techniques and promote success and happiness for women worldwide. Saturday, November 15th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma, Washington. Register online now at thewinonline.com and don't miss out.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
Welcome back to the Kristen Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I am having a conversation today with one of my favorite people out there, Dr. Bernie Siegel. He helped me years ago to find my path to healing, and he has helped millions across the planet. Now, Bernie, what does reverence for life have to do with healing and happiness?
Well, you know, we talked about animals. But as I say, people love themselves as much as their animals. But what I've learned is, my test question. After a rainfall, you go out for a walk and you see a worm on the pavement. Uh-huh. What would you do?
Well, I avoid it. You know, I step over it. Might watch it a little bit if it's interesting.
All right. Why I bring that up. I've been picking them up and putting them back on the ground for as long as I can remember, thinking I'm neurotic, and it's how I feel about life.
Right.
I'm always trying to save lives. And then I came across something Schweitzer wrote, and he discusses a reverence for life.
Uh-huh.
He said, if you're out walking after a rainfall, you see a worm on the pavement, pick it up and put it back on the earth. If you see an insect in a puddle, give it a leaf to climb on.
Right, right.
And when I read that, it was like, thank you for the therapy.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy. I'm not neurotic.
I have a bug jar. You know? I escort insects out in a bug jar because I don't want to kill them. But, you know, I figure the area I live, if they're on the gravel road, they can find their way to the grass pretty easily.
All right. But be, you see, that reverence. Our kids also would take insects outside and yell at me if I was going to swat something.
Uh-huh.
They grew up with a reverence for life. I don't worry about them making headlines, uh-huh. you know, walking into a school business
yes. oh,
and
gosh.
Shooting people.
Right.
But because, see, that's the result of rejection. Again, the opposite of love.
Yes.
You want revenge, you go and kill. And then you feel guilty, you kill yourself.
Right.
Or you let, you know, or the police do it for you.
Right.
But that's the sad part. So if everybody grew up with a reverence for life, you don't have to have 112 pets. You know, you could have plants in your house.
Right.
Goldfish. But something, a life that you're interacting with. And then you develop that reverence and you care about people and you make it, again, a different world and a lot healthier place to be.
Uh-huh.
And if we grew up with that, and literally, if every child grew up with love and a reverence for life, what a wonderful planet we'd all
yeah,
be on.
It would be.
Yeah.
And I know
with
my own kids, you know, I taught them that reverence for life. And I know that they had some interesting conflicts and interactions with other kids in the neighborhood because those kids thought it was fun to, like, you know, smash the spider or the insects that are outside. And, you know, they would complain, like, don't do that. You know, don't kill it. And their friends would think they were a little nuts. But it'd be better if, you know, the ones who were nuts were the ones who were trying to stomp.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the definition and why, see, children, their brainwave pattern is similar to that of a hypnotic person. So
really?
Think of what you hear from your parents the first 5 or 6 years of your life. Because that's the stuff that's in you, that's hypnotized you.
Uh-huh.
And if you grew up with what I call mottos to live by, I always hear my mother saying, do what'll make you happy. God is redirecting you. Something good will come of this.
Right.
Material things that'll make the world a better place. That was my father's line. Because his father died leaving 6 children and his wife with nothing. He died of tuberculosis.
Oh,
and, you know, so my father said, I learned what was important about life. You see, when you talk about a curse becoming a blessing, I heard my father say when I was a teenager, my father dying when I was 12 was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I said to him later, I said, what are you talking about? I've heard what you went through, the hell you went through.
Uh-huh.
He said, yeah, but it taught me what was important about life.
Wow.
You see?
And 12 is such a tender age, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that he wasn't, you know, God is terrible, life is horrible.
Right.
He took on life in a different way. And he spent a lot of his time and money helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm laughing because my mother would say, you know, they may never pay you back for what you've given them, the money. And my father would say, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not worried about getting paid back. I'm trying to help them.
Oh, that's great.
And my mother finally realized that where he was coming from was a very special place,
uh-huh.
you know, and it wasn't about making a secure loan. It was about helping people.
Uh-huh. And so it sounds like you were hypnotized in your first few years with a whole lot of love.
Yeah. You see, again, that's why I acted the way I did as a doctor.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't know people grew up with guilt, shame, and blame.
Uh-huh.
And I would say at workshops, what mottos do you live by? Excuse me, you didn't ask us what mottos we're dying by.
Right.
Oh, it never occurred to me parents would say things. This is a quote. My mother's words were eating away at me and maybe gave me cancer.
Uh-huh.
She dressed me in dark colors, told me I was a failure, and I embarrassed her.
Oh, dear.
That woman had to get cancer to buy a red dress and change. And the sentence in her letter to me was, you gave me permission to become the authentic person I was meant to be.
Wow.
And I said to her, you shouldn't have needed my permission.
Right, right.
You know?
And
you're
yet,
a divine child.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you're helping people to accept that they're divine children. And I thank you for all that you do, Bernie. Again, his website is Bernie Siegel, BERNIESIEGELMD.com. And there's a lot of wonderful stuff on there and access to his books. Bernie, it's been a joy to have you on. And thank you so much for what you've done for me personally and what you do for many around the world.
Well, bless you. And there's much to read on my website if people are interested in more things.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful you joined us here today. This has been an important conversation because really, whether you're in crisis or just in a moment of something's not quite right in your life, it's an opportunity to change. And the words you heard today can help you to transform your life. And I thank you for joining us. Hope you'll join me here again next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdener work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
How confident do you feel about your retirement? Ask Ameriprise financial advisor Jeff Packman about the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. Together, you and Jeff can break down retirement planning step by step to get to the real answers you need. Call Jeff Packman, financial advisor, today at 425-453-0272. Office is located at 601 108th Avenue Northeast, Suite 1800 in Bellevue, Washington, 98004. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC.